Guys, my name is Jeff. I have new life in Christ, and I am recovering from sex addiction, anger, and pride, or maybe better known as having too much affection for my three favorite people, me, myself, and I. Let's bring God into this, guys. Father, we desperately need you. Father, I desperately need you. And tonight, I pray that you would make our hearts keen to hear your voice and to learn the things that you would have for each and every one of us. We want to lay hold of your promise, Father, that where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, thank you for allowing or giving me the next 18 minutes of telling you how or what God has done in my life through Regen. Many of you have been coming for a while and are beginning to see what the Lord has for you. Some of you may be here for the first time, and maybe you're a little bit like I was. The first few times I showed up, I had no idea why I was here. I just knew I was supposed to be here. I came because a woman who had gone through the steps told me I was a sex addict and I needed to be here. Of course, I was argumentative and disagreed with her, but decided to come and check it out. The interesting thing about this conversation was that God put her in front of me 1 week after I cried out to him for his help to overcome the pain from my loss of control with sexual impurity and ongoing sexual encounters with multiple female partners. I did not know it at the time and could not admit it, but I had become a sex addict and was a couple years away from honestly admitting it. This lifestyle began after a crushing divorce from the mother of my children in a whirlwind romance, marriage, and second divorce. Though it seemed fun for a while, this lifestyle was eating away at the very soul of my being. I didn't know why or understand my compulsive behavior. I just knew I was out of control and needed help. I knew from the first time here that I was not here randomly or by accident. I knew that God wanted me here. So what was my first night at Regen like? Well, the woman who gave her testimony that night gave a compelling description of her life before finding grace in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and she used the M word. That's right, up here on stage, in church, she admitted to struggling with the same thing as I struggled with, and I was shocked to hear such an admission in front of this many people. I also was quite confused because after I had accepted Christ as a freshman in college, I was quite involved with a group of men who taught the concept of grace but would discipline someone harshly if they admitted to something like masturbation and would even disassociate with you if it was something worse. But that was not and is not the case here at Regen. Grace abounds. My college ministry experience fit right in with my childhood experience. Perfection on many levels was demanded with little tolerance for even the slightest mistake or fault. I was the victim of many beatings that sometimes knocked the breath out of me, but worse was the emotional abuse that left me cringing with fear, anger, and extreme loneliness. Oftentimes, I would be sent to my room for some unknown disciplinary reason and found an area of comfort that turned into a profession, playing the trombone. Because of how I was pushed away from my parents, I wanted to love me. I found a new love and became really good at it. My achievements gave me a confidence and a cockiness that was often overbearing to others, but really I didn't care. I liked being the best. Being the best meant I was somebody of significance, and others would look up to me with respect. I was getting the attention I wanted from home only when my achievements were high, or so I thought. I've learned that my egotistical behavior caused distance and harm towards friends because I had become so self-focused. When I went away to college, I had a lot of hopes and expectations that drove my musical perfectionism and a curiosity with sex, but God had other plans. A couple of weeks after school started, two men were in my dormitory and were praying God would literally open the door of the person he wanted them to share Christ with. I was going through this battle of trying to develop good study habits and had this overwhelming sensation that just said, get up, open your door. So I got up, opened the door to my room, and guess what? These two men looked up from their quiet prayers and were soon talking to me about Jesus. I already knew that my behavior towards people came at a price, and that price caused the death of friendships, not only toward people, but God himself. I learned from these men that all of us like sheep have gone astray. We have turned each one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus paid the debt or the penalty of my offenses for me. Guys, I was compelled to receive this payment for my sins, so I simply asked God to forgive me and to direct my life going forward. The two guys who shared the life of Christ with me were always after me to study the Bible and attend their meetings, so I soon forgot about my goal of chasing women. But this also inflamed my performance tendencies, and many of the disciplines I practiced were for the approval of guys in the ministry. I memorized tons of verses, led Bible studies, and eventually went on staff with this group, and honestly thought I had arrived. I thought I was part of God's group of holy men that was so much better than the rest of Christianity. I even got so confident in my arrogance, I would tell pastors how they were doing it all wrong and how they needed to let me disciple them. This was confusing because I never got any takers. Well, during this time of my life, I got married, and after our second child, I left staff with a Christian organization and went back into the world of sales. My performance drive was rewarded even more as I achieved and overachieved. There were numerous rewards, trips, accolades, contests, and financial gains that inflated my ego and confidence even more. In the world of Jeff, I had become the best of the best, a one percenter, or so I thought. I had become a Jeffaholic. Then one day, a business client who I led to the Lord told me I was a bully, and that the reason she and her colleagues did business with me was because I was a time bomb waiting to go off, and if they didn't agree with me or buy from me, and they wanted to just get me out of the office. I'd also been made aware of this arrogance by my wife, who could no longer tolerate my performance-based acceptance. My first wife, the mother of my children, divorced me, which really tore me up, and because of my addiction to the approval of women, I quickly remarried, which soon resulted in another divorce. I did not understand what was going on in my life, but over time and working the steps, I realized that what I thought of myself was that I was better than everyone and that people should look to me as their mentor for life. And guys, I hope by now you're asking, where is Jesus in this guy's life? I even felt entitled before God because I had served him as a vocational minister. I thought I had been a good husband and a father to my children. I was an honest businessman and promoted business deals that were a win-win and not one-sided. It eventually took me 6 times through the steps and 4 inventories to understand I was not the man I thought I was. I am recovering from a proud and contentious heart, and because I did not have a humble heart, I could not hear the message of grace God had for me. In fact, during one of my most recent inventories, a friend told me that I was blind to my sin because I was trying to be God. Well, this brought out recovery issue number 2, anger. I simmered, stewed, and most importantly, I struggled with God. I was passive in my anger, but it was there and my friends knew it. God used his comment to penetrate the wall of my pride and self-protection I'd built around myself, and God himself was in the process of tearing it down. This has helped me to understand how God, who I now know loves me without condition or performance, had purchased my life out of the bondage of sin and self-destruction. I now more fully understand that I belong to God and he loves me. When I first came to Regen, I knew I had lost control of how I managed morality and sexual purity. I was a slave to personal gratification and attention from women. The second reason I came to Regen, which really confused me and was an underlying and most unrecognizable anger. So what was the source of this anger, pride, and self-protection, and oh yes, self-medicating with women? The first time I went through the steps, I just didn't get it. I truly thought that because I was a class Bible scholar, I would blow through Regen and tear it up. And guess what? The old performance-based ego was already at it. In fact, my ego told me that before we were done with the steps, I would be leading the ministry. But something interesting was going on. The guys in my group were coming up with really profound personal insights, and I wasn't. I wasn't getting it. Because my competitive nature was always engaged, I went to my group leaders and asked them for advice, and they simply said, just keep leaning into Jesus. But something else was going on. I was not confessing or repenting for my sin. I was still engaged sexually with women. Proverbs 28:13 says, whoever conceals his transgression will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes him will obtain mercy. My shame had such a grip on me that I couldn't hear or receive the grace and mercy God wanted to drench me with. Three times I attempted to lead and regen, and when given the opportunity, each time I sinned and crossed sexual boundaries with women. I went from isolating and hiding my sin to then confessing my sin, but I was still serving myself and did not want to repent for my sin. I wanted to manage my primary source of pleasure. I went back through the steps as a participant and became angry at how I was wasting my life by not humbling myself before God. My values were beginning to change. I was growing tired of the consequences of my disobedience to God and breaking the trust of my church and community. I was still not getting something. I was told that I needed to understand what God wanted for me, not what I wanted for myself. Each time I went through the steps was unique, but the last time was really different. I closed my mouth, opened my ears, and asked God to open my heart to be the man that he wanted me to be. For many years, I'd been told how I was proud, but I didn't understand what that meant. I began to see how only God can give understanding, and God himself showed me I had been playing God in my life and the lives of others. Because this new understanding from step four inventory was so significant, a lot was on the table when step nine amends came around. I was able to go to my kiddos and both ex-wives and clearly and humbly express and accept responsibility for the things I had done wrong in their lives. My kiddos were more than gracious and expressed a lot of gratitude for my life and the love we shared as a family. My ex-wives were gracious, and they extended additional grace by filling in the blanks of the additional harms I'd left out. And guys, that really was helpful. I took those things back to my mentors in my community, and they, with a lot of grace, dissected me even deeper. I want to learn from God and others how to have a deeper and more intimate walk with Jesus so that my life will reflect him and draw people to himself. In fact, one of the big changes in my life, instead of having all the answers, I ask a lot of questions now. So many, in fact, that there are some in my community that tell me at times I annoy them with questions. Though pride is still a big thorn in my flesh, me, myself, and I are being replaced by an understanding of God's love and purpose for me. Guys, there's a lot of wisdom in the 12 steps, and they all deserve focused attention. Step one, admit, is becoming easier to confess my sin, admit my need for Jesus. I tried for too many years to fix myself, manage my sin, and it just didn't work. Because I more fully understand how Christ took away my shame, I'm more willing and less embarrassed to confess my junk. Step two, believe, is where I become more honest with God. There are still many times when I confess to God that I struggle to believe something, and I ask him to help me take him at his word. Step three, trust, is probably the biggest one for me. My trust has been broken by others so many times over the years, I had resigned myself to only trusting in myself. Well, we can see how that works. So I'm learning that trusting God is a good thing. As I struggle with life's issues, I'm learning to wrestle with God by bringing him into all areas of my life. I'm learning to trust. He is faithful and proves himself true. He is always faithful. What I know about myself is that I'm prone to wander away from God and take back control of my life. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 teaches that my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, whom I have from God. I do not belong to myself, but I belong to God. Because he bought me with an expensive payment, the life of his son, Jesus. Therefore, I'm taught to glorify God in my body. I can't even dream about a more loving and safe place to be. I'm learning that trust is equal to obedience, which brings us to step 6, repentance. This for me is not a legalistic practice, but learning to walk in God's grace, receive grace, and give grace. Steps 7 through 12 teach the practical side of what it means to have an intimate relationship with God and with others. They teach me how to follow Christ and what it means to experience intimacy with Christ. Obeying Christ is what motivates me to make amends with others that I've offended or who have offended me, both believers and non-believers. As a final comment, I want to encourage all of us that we're not here by accident. John chapter 6 teaches us that we cannot come to Christ unless he calls us to him or calls us to himself. If you're here for the first time, understand no matter how you got here, Jesus is calling you. Jesus answered his followers by saying, "Truly I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you." Guys, the living God brought you here, as he did me, to find life and contentment that only Jesus, the bread of life, can offer. Regen is helping me to learn to feed my soul with the eternal bread of Christ. As leaders here at Regen, our prayer is for you to find the bread of life and to find your fill in Jesus Christ. My name is Jeff Blim. I have a new life in Christ, and I am recovering from sex addiction, anger, and pride. To God be the glory.